am so grateful to be here and to see your faces. And my grandson is here, my daughter-in-law, and I am so grateful to see you. So I'm telling you, Jameer, I'm going to mention your name so you won't be looking funny. Pastor Walker and Elder Francine and God's people, thank you for allowing me to be here to present to you. So first, I'd like to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity, and I ask that you help me with my memory. I ask, Lord, that you allow me to follow you. I want you to lead, and I want to follow. I know what I prepared, but if you would desire to shut something in my mouth, or if you would desire to go in another way, Lord, just let me follow you. So we trust you, Lord, tonight that we would hear from you. I am so blessed by the time of preparation while you ministered to me. So I ask, Lord, that you would bless your people, for I have absolutely nothing to offer except it comes from you. So it's in Jesus' name that I pray, trusting you. Amen. So I want to just start off by saying, Pastor Walker and Elder Fran, I was like, Lord, Pastor Walker, when you opened up and you opened up with Matthew 4:19, I'm like, oh my goodness, he started out with that scripture. What am I going to do? And then Elder Fran, and you spoke, and I was like, Lord, they've already said what I was going to say. So I got nervous because I have to start early praying and seeking the Lord. And then I have to get it done early, because if I don't, the whole time I'd be nervous about it. So then when I sat in and Pastor Walker said, Matthew 4:19. So the Lord said, don't change a thing. Just keep moving, because I will be repeating a lot of things to you. As long as y'all live, I'm going to keep saying the same thing till you get it. So, and he was talking to me, so, but I want to thank you all, and I want to start off by telling you the message title is Before and After Motherhood, and I'm speaking to many of my family that's outside, and you may say, well, wow, she's speaking some things that I shared with her. I'm not calling your name, but what I know is that we as mothers, and even before motherhood, we have such great challenges, such great, great challenges. But God is so faithful, because he's always working. And I'm starting off with the Amplified Bible version of Matthew 4:19. But I want to energize you, encourage you, and exhort you and equip you mothers. And although this is for mothers, my desire is that everyone listening will receive from the Lord. So Matthew 4:19 says, and he said to them, follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk, and I will make you fishers of men. And Ms. Barbara, would you please go in my purse and get my glasses, because I'll be up here. I failed to bring them up. And I want to elaborate on that to tell you what he was speaking to me about. Children. I remember the children that used to come to my house and sit at my dining room table. And that's what we talk about. Most of them were girls. I can see the faces of about 10 of them. And we talk about being fishers of men. And I remember my nephew, my grandson, Jameer, would come to children's church. So shout out to the teachers here, because y'all changed his life. And he would come from children's church, and he would say, Grandma, Grandma, Papa, let me show you. So he started in the car talking about this drawing that he had. And it would be a picture of Jesus and some men and a fishing boat and some nets. And he said, Grandma, it's talking about being a fisherman, but it's not talking about fishing fish, it's talking about fishing people. And he would be so excited. And he understood, because Cross Culture Church teaches, you did such a good job to explain to him that. So it takes him back. The Lord was saying, you know what? I was preparing those children at an early age, teaching them how to fish and helping them to understand it's more than just the fishing as you know it, but it's about changing your life so you can change the life of others. And it's setting a foundation for children. And since I'm directing this, I'm talking about little boys, children, period, but I'm directing this towards little girls and mothers. Then we would hear and we would say this, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as you grow, we encourage you to share your faith, winning others to Christ. And then in Romans 10 and 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God, not just anybody, but God rose him from the dead, then you will be saved. Now, when that goes off and they do it, it should be bells and whistles and excitement. But we have gotten so comfortable when somebody gets saved, we just go, oh, baby, I'm so glad you received Jesus. This is greater than a birthday. It's greater than the celebration on your birthday. They give you a cake and you get this Nintendo game or whatever the games are and everybody come with food. But when you get saved, it's like, oh, baby, but guess what? That is the biggest, most powerful thing that can happen to our children, especially our daughters, because it's preparing them for motherhood. So we need to do that in the future if we can. Bring out some food, celebrate it, because their lives will never be the same again. And it's a new birth, the greatest birth that they will ever have. It's when they are born again. So I challenge all of us to see it differently. And I know that I am, after the Lord checked me and shared that with me, because that's not a Shalita Reading original. That came from the Lord. The one thing I know is that Jesus desires that we first love him. This is the greatest and first commandment. Matthew 22, 37, 38 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And then the second commandment, next in priority, Matthew 22, 39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Think about these little girls around you and those of you that are in the audience that's listening to my voice. The most important thing to happen to them at an early age is to learn how to love the Lord with all of their heart and all of their might and all of their soul, because they are learning what real love is. It's not the distorted love that you find when you are a child, and maybe your parents are not saved if you haven't been exposed to Jesus. But it's the greatest love of all, because it's coming from the greatest lover, the master of love, Jesus Christ. If you get any other love from somewhere else, it's counterfeit. But when you get it from him, it can't get any realer than that. And then the second one is your neighbors. And so the Lord was saying, you know what? That's preparing them for motherhood. Because when you grow up and you're young and you learn to love him, you know how to love others. You start treating people better. It teaches you how to respect your parents, because you understand the foundational principle of the greatest commandments of all, and that's loving him. Then it keeps you too from straying off, because when you love him like that, he'll work things inside of you. And then you won't be so selfish, because y'all know our children, and I'm speaking of little girls, but it's all of them, were born into sin. Before the new birth, we are sinners. And you don't even know how to play. You're selfish with your toys. But then the second greatest of all is others. So guess what he's doing? At an early age, he's teaching our daughters what love is, the real thing, not the counterfeit. And then he's teaching them about community, what he's doing with these simple commandments, and at an early age, teaching them how to fish, and then teaching them how to play with other people and sharing. And when they begin to learn how to share and be friends with other people and speak to the neighbors and the old folk in their neighborhood and open the doors for them, guess what? They're building the community. Before motherhood, they are building the village. They are being prepared for motherhood because it takes a village to raise a child. So there's a preparation that takes place in little children where God is saying, come here. I want you to know how to love on grandma next door. Call auntie and appreciate her. But when we fail to give them those foundations, they don't know what real love is and they're selfish. They don't even know how to love you as a mama. And I say this, mothers, a lot of the times they can't do it because you can't do it. But guess what? It's not too late if you're not saved. Because all you have to do is receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it helps you on this journey to be a mother. It's just, of course you can do it. But it's something about having the Savior in your life to give you direction and instruction. The second commandment, as I covered, as I talked about knowing the community, is so important. Once we are born again, God gives us a new heart, which helps us to live in obedience. This is our first covenant with God before motherhood. And this is the preparation to become a mother, because God would desire that we choose him. You do it willfully. He wants you to. And he likes to go after our little children because their hearts are open. They're not deceived with all of these kinds of doctrines and things. Their hearts are pure, so they are open to hear the truth. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the first instruction for us expressed in the first commandment, why it's the first order, and it's because God knows our hearts. And that it's our nature to create other idols that we put in front of him before God. And when you're a little girl and you're growing up, you don't want anybody to play with your toys. And then when you get in high school, sometimes you don't want to share. You don't want to be on teams with people because you don't want to help anybody else. You have careers. And guess what, ladies? It's nothing wrong, young ladies, with wanting a career, but when you want it so bad and it becomes an idol because you can't think of anything else but getting that job, you can't come to church, you won't listen to anything else because you got to do all these things, because what's most important to you is landing that job and making all that money, and you don't even know that it's an idol and it's actually going to interfere with God preparing you as a mother, because all you can see is that career and you can't even see him. There's nothing that we can do unless we see Jesus the right way. And then a baby. Some women, I say this to you, God wants you to be a mother, but it can be an idol. You are married and you can't even enjoy your marriage because all you want is a baby. That's all you think about. You can't enjoy your life because every time you see someone else with a child, it's like you covet it. And then you get upset with other people, with their children, and you're short-tempered. And it's anything else that you're holding on to that becomes an idol. Because if we examine our lives, and he certainly was working on me saying, so look for your idols. Because all of us have them, we just haven't seen them. But he's saying, be patient with me because I'm cultivating gifts in you and I have children for you if you would just trust me and wait on me. When we strive to live a life pleasing to God, putting him first, we know whatever happens in our life is going to be fine. He tells us this in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Even before we received the Lord as our Savior, he gave us the same provisions as the saved to become a mother. He's such a good God. He still blesses you when you don't even know him. However, it is his desire that we would all be saved as a priority first, even over being a mother, becoming a mother, having a baby, raising children. Without Christ, the responsibility is so much more difficult, not impossible, because many have done it, but it's been so, so hard. And only if you knew, if you had accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what a difference it would have been. But it's never too late as long as you're not dead. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil." So those things that happen to you, God didn't do that. God didn't do that because he doesn't plan evil for your life. "To give you a future and a hope." The Lord is an architect and a gardener of lives, and he has a blueprint for each one of us. He is guiding us and putting seeds in our hearts, and like a gardener, he waters the seeds. He plants within our hearts the fruit from the seeds he cultivates in our heart, prepares us for future, and it positions us to have a hope. God has a perfect plan and order for us to become mothers from the time of our birth. Isn't that incredible? I was like, wow, Lord. That's why he invented children's church and Sunday school. He wanted us to start early learning about him. Some will be natural mothers and others will be spiritual mothers. And when I mean a spiritual mother, it doesn't mean that the child came from your womb, but what God did is he did something in your heart to see those children. And he stirred up a love inside of you that caused you to go after them as he's pursued us. He gave us the organs to reproduce, and he gave us a heart and a mind to love when we were little children. When we apply to our lives all scriptures I covered, it positions us with a strong foundation to become a mother. He goes after us when we are children, when we are teens, when we are young adults, and when we are older, and he never stops knocking on the doors of our hearts, and he never stops working in us. In reviewing, he wants us to know the Lord. He says, "Follow me. I will make fishers of men." He says, "I want you to accept me as your Lord and Savior." So once you do that and you belong to me, you'll tell your neighbors. When you're a little girl, you'll tell your friends. You'll tell your school teacher. You'll tell your parents. You will see people in your family getting saved. And you don't have to be grown. You're a little girl. You're a teenager. Now you're a young adult. Now you're a mature person. He's still working. And then he says, "Love the Lord with all your heart, all your might, and all your soul." And y'all, these seem so simple, but the power behind it, the power that's life-changing, some of the problems that we face is because we didn't learn how to love at an early age. So we see counterfeit stuff, and it's lust, it's not love. And then we don't know how to treat others because he said the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. But you didn't learn that because you thought loving them as yourself was really the selfish way that you are. But that's because you missed the first commandment. Because if you got that right, then the second would just fall in place. And that's the issue with God. He got a perfect plan. And when you don't follow his plan, you get sideswiped and you get shipwrecked, because what he plans for us is perfect, whether you believe it or not. It's not because I said it, it's just so. Because he's Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, and there is perfection in him. He makes no mistakes with anything that he does. As I mentioned again, it was our first covenant with him, whereby we accept him, which is so huge, and we continue to grow daily through prayer and fasting, study of his word, and assembling together through church attendance and fellowship with others. And what's so interesting about that, that's your village. And God just didn't intend to give us a church. That's our covering. That's where we meet people. That's where people see us. When they see us, God, wake them up in the morning and say, pray for them. It's so huge. It's more than what we think it is. It's not a gathering like the Phi Beta Labna Club. It is God changing our lives through others. His presence comes, and he shows up, and then he speaks to us. And the person sitting by you, you may not even know their name, but he wakes them up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they're praying for you, and you don't even know it. And then all of a sudden, a peace comes over you, and you wonder what happened. That's because of your assembly with the other saints. That's because you've been sitting in his house. After motherhood, being a mother is one of the most rewarding jobs, but very challenging. God desires that we form another covenant before becoming a mom, and that is a marriage covenant between a man and a woman. Again, a marriage covenant between a man and a woman. And he harnesses himself in the center of the relationship. And that's the glue that causes some of y'all that's been in here married for 45 years, 35, 25, and 15, with that kind of glue, the Holy Ghost, Jesus, it never lasts. It never lasts, because only he can do the impossible. And that's kind of rough, staying with a person that long. It has to be Jesus that's working. For you, and many of you may be out there, and you may say that you are a single parent, and you regret and you're beating yourself up. Guess what? God loves you. He may have not liked your process by which you presented yourself as a parent, because he has a perfect plan of marriage. But in case you didn't go through that covenant, your baby is not a mistake. It is a gift. That child was with God before it was placed in your womb. So if you're hearing me and someone said, well, you were a mistake, or it was accidental, God doesn't make accidents, only people. He creates perfect beings, and he places them in wombs, and they are perfect. The situation may have not been perfect. And mom, that's why he gives us one of the greatest gifts of being saved is repentance. So you say, Lord, you know, I'll just look at things differently. I know you want a marriage covenant going on here, but I thank you. And then the thing about it is that there's another situation that pops up a lot of times, and that's a situation whereby you think that termination has to be an answer. Don't let anyone shame you into throwing away your gift that came from God. God has a perfect plan for your life. He knows that we are imperfect and we make mistakes, but I never heard a child's name called mistake. Come up here to the chalkboard. Accident, come up here to the chalkboard. Chalkboard. No, because God makes no mistakes. So you have a choice, and your choice today is full term. I know they tell you that abortion is an option, but it's not God's option. Your option is taking your child a full term. And then if there are other things on your mind, there are other things that are ordered of God. But let's talk about the forgiveness, because he says this in Ephesians 1:6-7. He forgives us for so many things. to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Because just remember this, we got so many sins. He says sins, so maybe that's one thing and you're thinking about termination, but it's some other stuff going on in you that led you to that place, because you don't get to those places by accident. It was some stuff going on where you wasn't putting him first. Then the next thing you looked up, and I used to run a medical clinic, and I would hear young ladies say, I don't know how I got pregnant. But we would tell them how they did. And then we would love on them and tell them about the love of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and how he's there and how they can make a better decision. There are mothers who never experienced childbirth. In case you were thinking, I am past childbearing age, single, widowed, or divorced, God has made provision for you too. There are people around you that need the love of a mother that you have that's being wasted. You are seeking things and you're shopping in the shopping centers and buying stuff and buying cats and dogs and dressing them up, and nothing's wrong with pets. But he said, I got some pets for you, little Johnny and little Mary. And they need a mama and a dad, and I put something in you. Being a mother to someone else's child through adoption, bringing a foster child in your home, or being a spiritual mother may seem impossible or too difficult. But in Christ, God knows that in him, we can do all things. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We can do things we never dreamed of. We never dreamed were possible, and survive things we never had to face. God is just saying, if you're open to him, that's why he desires that you spend time with him. So when he goes away that you're not familiar with, you go, oh, okay, Lord, I see what you're saying. I want to tell you about a story. I have a son named J.B. Jones, for those of you that didn't know. And I think J.B. was like, what, maybe 14 years older than me? I thank God I see Liz and the FAMO because of them, I got that son. And I wasn't looking for him, and I wasn't calling him my son. I knew that he was in a situation where he was being abused by his caregiver. And I cried out to the Lord about it, and we all prayed, and the Lord told me that you do something. And he was staying with someone else, and something happened. I ended up being his caregiver. I had the support of Liz and the FAMO, and we were all taking care of him. But then when he got put out of the place he was living, he had to come live with Khalil and I. Now, I still wasn't really being his mama. You know, I was still seeing caregiver. And he gave my husband a hard time. He came in that house. He said, man, if she was my woman, I'd bring my check home every night. Now, he's saying this to my husband. So I'm like, okay, Lord, you got to do something with this because he don't like my husband. Time went by. That mother's love thing kicked in, and Papa Khalil, and we were taking JB to the grocery store and buying his favorite stuff. You know how you do a kid. And then we would take him so he could pick out his own suits. Then he'd like for you to give him money every morning like you do when you're giving a child allowance. And one day he came in, and he said, you my mama. I have to be careful because I'll start crying. He said, you my mama. He said, you love me. You my mama. And what had kicked in with me, I was saying, JB, take a bath. Look, you got on dirty clothes. You can't be going down there with dirty clothes. JB, you need to come in early. that mother's love that he put in me as a child, as he does us as little girls and grows us up. That's why we play with dolls. He's preparing us to be a mother. And now I'm a mother. I do have daughters, but I had asked for a son. I had asked for a son, but I didn't ask for it like that. I didn't want no grown man to be my son because it wasn't easy. But God did something. But first he had to get me to open my eyes and see what was right in front of me. You women that do not have children, ask God to open your eyes to see what's right in front of you. While you were crying out to the Lord, he said, if you just look, I've already done it. So J.B. Jones would write us letters, and then he would give us money on Christmas. He'd say, Mama, he'd give me a card and give Khalil a card, and it'd have $2 in there. For him, that was a lot of money. And we would go out, and we'd be in the grocery store, and he called me, Mama. You want to talk about something humbling? That God would trust me with that soul, someone that other people despise, a person, if any of you know him, many people look past him, but he didn't care. He was about this tall. People would see us, and they couldn't figure it out because there was a special love that I had for him, a mother's love, only that kind of love for a child that's a grown man can come from heaven. Because there's nothing that you can do on your own. We're not able to. I love it. It's too selfish. A grown man telling him to take a bath, brush your teeth, and all of that. Only God can do that. Women, mothers, maybe your children are grown, it doesn't matter. Teenagers who are young women, you are an answer to the woman who chose life when she made a decision not to terminate, because you're the arms, first the arms of Christ, but you're the one that tells her it's going to be all right, that she did the right thing. And then when you love on her without the judgment, look, you know how we look. And ain't no love in that look, but we are the answer. Family of believers, we are the answer. Ugh, a mother's job is not easy. There's a pain every mother experiences because we love our children and want to always protect them, no matter the age. The Lord has equipped us with the greatest gift of all, called prayer, intercessory prayer. Pray without ceasing and never give up on them. And I was sitting down just looking at the perspective, and I was just thanking the Lord. And you know what he brought me and showed me? We think that Adam and Eve had so much on us because they walked with God. And they did. But he gave us a redeemer. With Adam and Eve, they lost what they had. And Eve, I think, was the first mother to experience a pain that no one could ever dream of, when your son murders his brother. So then you lose two children at the same time because your heart is torn. And it's a drastic situation, but God gave us a redeemer. So when we are facing those things, I think we have it a little better than Eve, because we got Jesus. He's made himself accessible. He's made himself accessible, and he is there for us. And when we lean on him, the spirit is being challenged, but he's there. And he tells us in Romans 12:12, when we allow him to help us, we are constantly rejoicing in hope, in spite of what we went through, because of our confidence, not in ourselves or the pain that we're going through, but because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress. And I know mothers, women, it's been so much distress because of the pandemic and the school system and just living in 2022. But then this is the key too, devoted to prayer. I don't care who you talk to, your girlfriend, your mama, your daddy, and we respect our pastor, and we know we be wearing him out, calling him an Elder Francine, but he wants us still to talk to him, having a little conversation with the Lord, prayer, consistently talking to him, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength. And when we continue to do that, because see, the kind of strength he's talking about is not yours. It's the Lord's. So it's all right when you're weak. You can cry and you can pray. When you're weak, you're at your best because that's when we rely on the Lord. When we're strong and everything's going good, we don't really lean that much to him. But when life is falling apart, that's when his strength kicks in for us. I think he'd just be like, I need to let y'all be weak, because as long as you're strong, you don't need me. You don't even think about me. And maybe you do, and maybe we're praying and doing all of that, but not to the level that he desires, because we can never do enough. We can never pray enough. We have to every day to continue to pursue the Lord. And when we do this, I want you to just feel this peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding fall on you. And I look around, I see the wind blowing, and I'm getting ahead of myself about the Holy Spirit. But that's how that peace is. All of a sudden, you feel different. That stress is gone from you. Those bubbles in your stomach, whatever that is, seems to just melt away. Our children and other children are watching our walk with God. They read us first before they are able to read the Bible. Many children, young and old, are more suicidal than ever before. We must be more discerning and wiser than ever before. There is such great power in a mother's love when we walk upright, not perfect, but always wanting God to perfect us and help us grow while praying always. Even when we miss the mark, his grace and mercy is there for us. In Deuteronomy 4, 9, and 10, it says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Tell them at an early age about Christ, and even when they are older and don't want to hear it, don't let up. Live in a repentant life, apologizing to our children, young and old, when we are wrong, admitting we are not perfect and that we don't know everything, only God does. Listen more to this new generation and learn from them. Show more love and mercy than ever before, and be quick to forgive and love, especially to the ones that gives you the hardest time. Let them see Jesus when you know you want to let them see the rod. But know when the rod is necessary, because Christ chastens those he loves. And guess what? We his children, that's why we be feeling some stuff and a lot of things be going on. That's because he's spanking us. We think we want to give our children spanking and fussing at our grown children, but God be saying, look at you, I'm spanking you today. That's how he does me. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. And there's a Christian quote from Augustine that I saw, and it says, God loves each of us as if they were only one of us. And I can tell you what happens to me. Sometimes when I'm sitting in this sanctuary or at my house, it seems like the Lord said, come here, come to me, come here. come here. Now you tell your children, come here. You need to get some gas in your tank. And then all of a sudden, something will come over me, and the next thing you know, I'm behind the veil, and I feel like I'm the only one in here. And some of y'all probably see me and wonder, what is wrong with that woman? Because I can't stop shouting, and a stank can't stop crying. It's like he turned on this faucet, and it won't come out. But he says, I know you need to get your tank filled with me because you are empty. And when he knocks on the doors of your heart, you can resist and stay in your seat. And when you do, you can't receive the word, because when the word comes, your problems are so heavy, they pressing you in the seat. And the Holy Spirit just said, okay, I'm a gentleman. I'm going to leave you alone. Then you come to church and go back out the same way you came in. But the Lord was trying to prepare your heart. So then finally, when I go in, I don't want to come back out because I think I'm the only one in there with him. But he says, you need to come down to earth now because that's where you live. And you need to be prepared to hear the word, because I have a word for you. Now that I've emptied out all that junk in you and you've gone behind the veil with me, now I want you to listen. And most of the times when that happens to me, I never fall asleep. You would think that you would, but when I enter in and praise and worship, you know, we fall asleep because we're so tired and we hadn't allowed him to refresh us. I say this to the mothers. To the mothers who dread to see Mother's Day coming because you grieve the loss of your child or children from death, from them leaving home angry, or whatever it is, whatever the reasons are. To the mothers who sacrificed their careers and stayed home, gave up so much of yourself to raise your children, and now that your children are older, you feel a little discouraged. You feel a little unappreciated. They're not saying thank you like they were when they were children. They were saying thank you because you taught them that. But when they get older, sometimes they forget. And maybe you're feeling a little lost with your time, and maybe a little angry. To the military mother who struggles to balance the call to service and the absence from her children when you are in a foreign country taking care of children that you don't even know, but you feel like you are neglecting your own and you can't even shake it, but you are serving your duty to your country. The Lord says, I see you. The Lord says, I love you. The Lord says, I hear you, and I am answering your prayers. Not I will, but I am answering your prayers, whether you see them answered or not. But trust me and wait on me. He comforts you and sends others to comfort you. He speaks to us in 1 Corinthians 1:3-7 and says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance, of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. He doesn't stop right there. He says, daughters, daughters of Zion, ooh, mothers, mamas, grandmamas, I got something else for you. The helper. the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16, 7, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But he says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. 14, 26, and 27. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, not the name of somebody else, but in his name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And I love this when he says to you, mamas, mothers, let not your heart be troubled. When the Lord says that to you, neither let it be afraid. And the Lord dropped in my spirit as I'm closing out this picture. First, I looked up and I saw Jesus on the cross. And then after a while, the light came out. And we talked about earlier about God raising him from the dead when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you recognized that he did that. He showed me this picture, mamas, mothers. He's not hanging on a cross. He's the Redeemer. He's off the cross. He's walking beside you. He's in your bedroom with the colicky baby. He's in your bedroom with the toddler that's turning out school and they want to kick that toddler out of school. He's in the bedroom with you when you're praying because the school don't know how to treat your special needs child. He says, look at me. He's got holes in his hands. And I saw him. I said, Lord, I see. But then he did like this. And I just started crying. Bam! He put his arms around me while I was trying to minister and prepare. He said, that's what I'm doing for you all. Mothers, pay attention. I love you. I'm speaking this to you. He's saying, I love you and that you are beautiful. And you are beautiful the way I created you. I don't care how old you are or young you are. You are perfect because I made you in my image. And you don't have to try to look pretty for somebody else. Look pretty for yourself. Look pretty for me. Accept you as you are. And stop looking for other people to tell you that you're beautiful. Because I'm telling you this today. Mama, even if you're older, and he said, I still need mamas like I never needed before, because the mother's love, he showed, the mother's love is like an atom bomb. But instead of it destroying and bringing death, it brings life from generation to generation, because there are seeds that came from the Father that will not die when it falls on the right ground. And then he dropped this song in me. And I love it because I can't sing it, but when my arms went out and he showed me this picture like this, it was the song, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine, Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. Can you see the arms of Jesus? And mamas, we leaning like this. We see Peter, but we don't have to look at him. We can do the same thing. We can get the same lean. And he's right there. And then it says, what a blessedness. What a peace is mine. It's yours, but you got to take it. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all those alarms that's going off in your head and in your house. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And this is what I love. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. Y'all know we just passing through. This is not where we stay. We want to have heaven on earth and enjoy the Lord. But we know we're not going to be down here forever. But we got a job to do while we down here. And we have to take it serious. And we have to see that it's urgent. And then it says, What have I to dread? That's that word again, dread, mamas. What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, I pray my sisters, my mothers, some of you that are teenagers, that have neighbors, and God has put in you a desire of a mother's love, I encourage you today to accept the gift and walk in what he's called you to do. For any of you that's discouraged, just know that God loves you. Nobody's perfect. He desires that we work towards the perfection that only he can do in us. So I say to you today, I don't care what your age is. There is nothing you can do outside of Christ. So if you not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the greatest gift that you can give your children is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and then share him with them. So if you're out there or in here or wherever you are, if you want to stand, you can stand in your living room, or if you're in here, just let the Lord know. If you don't even want to acknowledge it, just let the Lord know that you've received him today. And I say this, women, my, you're beautiful. And you have the most powerful job in the whole wide world, because every king, queen, president, great leader came from a mama. So don't you ever forget it. Our Lord loves you, and so do I.